Blog Talk Radio.
Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. This is Jack Watts for Jack Watts Live, broadcasting to you today from the 10th floor of the We Believe Tower in Midtown Atlanta, overlooking the majestic Buckhead skyline, where the day has been extraordinarily beautiful. Into the high 70s, I had the top down in my Volvo convertible, sporting around like it was spring. This time a week ago, the wind chill was 14 degrees. So we have had quite a change. But if you don't like the weather in Georgia, wait a day. It'll change. It's getting cold tomorrow, and by the end of the week in the mountains, for sure, we're going to have snow. Now, this isn't Buffalo, New York, and those people really have a hard time. But, excuse me, it is going to be a cold winter. Now, just to kind of, as we move forward, keeping things in full perspective, I want to just say very quickly that in the Real Clear Politics Average, Mary Landrieu, in her attempt to win a fourth six-year term, having served for 24 years, only has an average of 40% of the vote. Now, the election is on the 6th of December, and at that point, Cassidy will be the next senator from Louisiana, unless something catastrophic happens, which of course could happen. But the way it's going to end up is the Republicans are going to have 54 seats and the Democrats 46, which will be right now it's 55 Democrats and 45 Republicans. So this is a net change of 9. It's overwhelming. It's a message election and what they call a wave election. It isn't just one or two candidates. Frankly, Scott Brown and Ed Gillespie came with an eyelash of winning in New Hampshire and in Virginia, respectively. And they weren't even they were considered dark horses and came within less than a percentage point of knocking off Gene Shaheen and Warner. So that's big time stuff. But that's just in way of kind of bringing us up to speed. We've got big news today that I want to talk about. One is Ferguson and the verdict that's about to be read in the next 2 hours. And the second is the resignation, or more appropriately said, forced resignation or firing of Chuck Hagel as Secretary of Defense. He was the last Republican to be on the Obama team since this election, where Obama's you remember him saying, make no mistake about it, my policies, each and every one of them, are on the ballot. Well, now people say, we don't want your policies. And so in his vengefulness towards the American people because of his narcissistic personality disorder, he is raging against us and moving to the hard left, to those, to the Hollywood elite, for example, to the people that are, the radical environmentalists, to the gay and lesbian groups, to What else? My brother Richard's on the phone. Dick, how are you? What other hard left things were? Pass the unions. The unions aren't in his camp anymore, Dick. They're, you know, they want the Keystone Pipeline, for example. They are up in arms that, you know, that he doesn't want that because it's their jobs, lots of jobs, and right now, and it will help the American worker. So, you know, he isn't, because he isn't interested in America and making us strong, you end up losing unions. I mean, you know, they might be against management, but they're pretty dadgum, you know, when they start singing "I'm proud to be an American," they're right there with everybody else. So, you know, it's a totally different thing that we have with Obama. And
how they're proud to be a Democrat. You know, you said something a couple of minutes ago, though, when Obama said, "Make no mistake about it, this is about my policies." Well, Chuck Hagel, the president, gave a nice little speech regretting to have to take his resignation. The senior person at the White House that said that Chuck Hagel was fired, and this is the statement they made, "Make no mistake about it, he was fired." Now, who's the only person that you know that continues to say, "Make no mistake about it"? And then he has the audacity to stand in front of a microphone and say, "I really regret having to take his resignation." Horse patoopy.
Well, you know, just to be honest and clear, I think that anybody who would take what Barack Obama says at face value anymore would have to be a fool.
Yeah.
It isn't like he's been caught in a lie 3 or 4 times. Or 30 or 40. It's hundreds and hundreds and hundreds. And one after the other, repeated lies. And because of his narcissism, he says them with conviction because in his world, in his reality, they're true. Now, Hagel disagreed with him about ISIS. He disagreed with him about Iran. My guess is that he disagreed with him about Israel also. But here's the thing. Who does he have that has any kind of
backbone?
Well, I wasn't going to say that. Any kind of knowledge of what's going on. I mean, when your number one advisor is now John Kerry,
you're in trouble.
Or Joe Biden, it's like
even deeper trouble.
Absolutely. I mean, you know, Susan Rice, as a national, I mean, she's a little hack who is deeply deceitful herself, and has, I mean, she lied about Benghazi. There was another thing that she recently lied about. But, you know, we are in serious trouble, not just until the Republicans take over or about the amnesty. We're in trouble in a bunch of ways because we have powerful enemies in this world who seek to do us harm, and Obama, he does not have the capacity to deal with things effectively. It isn't just that he's a liar, which he is. He's incompetent.
Yeah.
And that incompetency is being taken advantage of, certainly by Putin and the Russians, also by the Chinese,
and Iran.
By the Iranians. Yeah. Iran. And
ISIS.
ISIS.
Yeah.
And Syria. Anwar, yeah. I mean, not, I've forgotten his name.
Al-Samari, whatever. What about Turkey? and Afghanistan. I mean, all of these countries that he thinks that are allies. I mean, I think they all just sit back and laugh at our expense because this country was incompetent. We're incompetent enough that we would re-elect him as president after 4 years of his incompetency.
Well, you know, that but we got him. And, you know, as soon as he was elected, he received the Nobel Peace Prize for what he was going to do. And because America, you know, is this, you know, great tyrant.
Warmonger.
He's went around the world apologizing for everything that we've ever done.
Yeah, and bowing to people.
Yes. And people and our enemies realized from that very first time that, you know, that he was not a strong leader. And we have been taking it in the shorts internationally ever since. Now, the granting of this amnesty, price tag for that, which nobody has discussed, by the way, it's just like, oh, those poor people, and we need to be, you know, all of this hand-wringing about the guilt of liberal white America and all that we have done wrong. My goodness, we have helped more people and brought peace to the world for the longest time since the rule of Rule Britannia in the 19th century. The peace of Britain lasted 200 years. The peace of Rome lasted 500 years. And the peace of the United States has lasted fully 75 years. Now, we've had minor things, but there has not been a major war. Iran and Afghanistan are not, or even Vietnam or Korea are not major wars. It's not World War I. It's not World War II. It's not the Napoleonic invasion of Russia. We've done a good job. Not perfect. A good job. And we've always wanted to do the right thing. And here we've got, you know, Barry Buffoon out there, you know, doing crazy stuff, last voice for reason and moderation has just been fired. So Obama is going hard to the radical left. He's going to try and close Gitmo. I'll be willing to bet you by the end of this year.
Well, I think there's still 121 people there. I don't think he can place that many that quick without bringing them into this country, and that would be a huge uproar with the people. Huge. That's one of the things they've always said, don't ever bring them into our country.
There's a huge uproar about everything. It's the same.
Yeah, well, that's
In World War II, when Hitler was in charge of Germany and the Russians held at Stalingrad and Leningrad and Moscow and started pushing back the Wehrmacht, and Germany started losing, Hitler, in his rage and anger towards the German people, forced them to do things that were clearly not in the best interest of the German war effort. He sacrificed troops, thousands of them, you know, as punishment. It's the same kind of stuff that Obama's doing. And I'm not saying he's Hitler. You know, I mean, Hitler was a mass murderer, you know, Obama certainly is not guilty of mass murder or anything like that. But he is.
That we know of.
Well, no, I mean, we certainly know about that. So, you know, that isn't something that I want anybody to say that I've laid at his feet. When he lost, my policies are on the ballot. When they lost, in his anger and in his reinterpretation of reality, well, 2/3 of the people didn't vote. I'm their president, too, and they all wanted what I want. That's how he thinks. People don't understand this. They just don't get it, but it is true. And, you know, I mean, he's like that. Now we come to Ferguson. He's on the side of the rioters. He's not on the side of law and order or the rule of law. He supports the people who want to loot and burn and destroy. This is something similar to a pathological Roman emperor, more than a president of the United States. You know, do I know what happened? I don't. I do know that Brown, you know, strong arm robbed a store just a few minutes before he died, and I do know that, you know, he reached into the car and there was a scuffle, and this guy, you know, was a bully. Brown was definitely a bully. And he was on lean, just like Trayvon was. Makes you very aggressive. And it's a huge drug in the black subculture. The guys that don't work and they just hang around and stuff like that, and that some bad people. That it took so long for this jury to come to a decision, be my guess that, you know, they're fearful of the mob. When are Americans fearful of a mob? Shouldn't President Obama be like Atticus when he went down to the jail in To Kill a Mockingbird and said, nobody's going to hang this man? And, you know, the people that were going to come to do it, you know, dispersed because of the strength of character of this one man. Now, I grant you it's fiction and, you know, had some truth to it, but isn't that what we want for leaders? Men and women who are elected who will stand for righteousness? Holder's had civil rights investigations all over the place in Ferguson, a little town of, what, 15 or 20,000 people outside of St. Louis. Because they're looking to find things that the white power structure has done wrong. And it isn't that, you know what, there could be some things that they've done wrong. I'm not saying that there isn't. But the attitude of the President of the United States is to placate a mob rather than insist upon the rule of law. And what have we got? That's not rhetorical. Tell me, what have we got?
You know, one of the things that I think I heard, too, was that the Justice Department sent numerous monitors to watch the police if riots start, to make sure that they don't go out of their way to enforce the law. It is unbelievable. And what's his name? The Reverend there going there to continue to stir the pot too.
Sharpton or Jackson?
The guy that used to be big and fat and now is real skinny.
Sharpton.
Yeah, Sharpton. Al Sharpton, yeah. Yeah. He continues
Al
to stir
Sharpton,
the pot.
By the way, who is the new advisor to the White House and who owes
the crowd control?
Yeah. Who owes $4.5 million in back taxes. And he's not in jail. Do you think that they'd throw us in jail if we owed $4.5 million in back taxes?
Well, I doubt very seriously that they asked us to the White House for our advice.
You know, Dana Perino on The Five a couple of days ago said, when she found that out, said, he should be told to leave the White House and not to come back until he pays his taxes, that he's not welcome until he does what he's supposed to do. He said that's what we would have done in the Bush White House. And, you know, good for her. Good for her for having some reason. Good for her for, you know, saying the truth about these things. Now, they have already started boarding up businesses. They've evacuated all of the governmental buildings. And here are these police who are being scrutinized to the nth degree. And it's their job to keep control. And they have no margin of error because people are looking for them to do something wrong.
Yeah.
This is not a good situation. Now, the rule of
law. You know
the
world's watching, too. You know the world's watching this.
Of course.
They have
from
the very beginning.
The rule of the mob is very important in French history, in Russian history, but it has not been important in British or American history. Even in the Vietnam era with all of the stuff, I mean, you know, both Republicans and Democrats stood against, I mean, in the 1968 Democratic convention, which was held in Chicago, all of the students were out there. Mayor Daley had those police just beat the fire out of them. Now, Mayor Daley and the Daley machine, which is still in existence, and brought us Barack Obama, were all Democrats. But, you know, he didn't put up with anything. And those police just went right through those crowds of kids. I mean, I remember it. Democrats weren't for the mob. Neither were the Republicans. They were both basically law and order parties. Now, the Democrats who are conservative, you know, there just aren't many of them left. And we have all of this happening. And, you know, this is a big night. It isn't as big as the elections. But it is having the world look at us. And now we have a president. Because he's been repudiated in his anger towards the American people, which he carefully camouflages, is going to allow things to happen. It's why he did the amnesty program.
Did you question the fact that he did this to Chuck Hagel today, knowing that this Ferguson thing was going to erupt tonight? I think he did.
I think that the Ferguson that the Hagel thing came before the Ferguson announcement. I don't think that they knew that they were going to have that.
Oh,
I think that
Jack, please. The president of the United States probably knew at noon today that there was going to come down. I mean, they announced it 2 hours ago that I heard that it would be announced at 8 o'clock tonight. So I'm sure that the president knew ahead of time. And this was all, I mean, they've been talking about this being imminent for the last 4 or 5 days. And he was smart enough to put two and two together, dropped Hagel out of the office, saying that, you know, even Fox will end up covering Ferguson and not pick on the Hagel thing. So, yeah, no, there's always a method to his madness, if you ask me.
Well, now that is an interesting hypothesis. It's something that I had not thought of. You know, and you may be absolutely right. I mean, that's a good thought.
Yeah.
You know, it isn't like Hagel was just this really, you know, strong, staunch conservative guy, because he isn't. But he did support the military brass in their conflicts with Obama about how to get things done. And Obama would not.
He didn't want to hear it. He didn't want to hear it.
Yeah.
My way or the highway. And guess who's thumbing his way down the road now? Chucky.
It's beyond me, but I know this. We got to remain being strong for the rule of law, for the Constitution, for the Bill of Rights, for the vision of America that we were brought up to love, for the reality of American exceptionalism, which still has a future. And as we stay strong, things are getting done. This wave election where these people who were just lying through their teeth, and, you know, I don't even know Barack Obama. I mean, you know, voting for him 98% of the time, but, you know, well, I stand against Barack Obama. My goodness, just like we are fools and children, and of course many are, but we soundly repudiated what he was doing. So he's out after it again, and that's who he is, and that's what's going to happen. Now, this is some really tough stuff, but we're just about out of time, so we're going to just digress here for 1 minute and just say that, number one, we are in hopes that Arkansas can beat the University of Missouri on Friday, because if they do, the Georgia Bulldogs will go to the SEC Championship to face Alabama, and that will be a good game. Alabama would just destroy Missouri, but we don't know that that'll happen. But second, Patriots have just shown their color as, in my opinion and yours, the strongest football team in the NFL. And I'm going to let you have the last word.
Well, they bought LeGarrette Blount, who didn't cut the mustard in Pittsburgh, and they let him go. We picked him up, and he ran for 78 yards yesterday and 2 touchdowns. So I think it's called the Belichick magic, and it's got us all under a spell, and we like it.
Yes, we do, and we love the United States of America. So let me just say, we're out of time. Good night, God bless you, and God bless the United States of America. Good night.